some years ago, I started really wanting to serve the Father, and I knew I needed to humble myself before Him. And so I started to do things that would accomplish that. Started keeping Sabbath, started at times fasting. And there are a number of reasons to fast. I mean, we can fast for atonement purposes, and of course we find atonement is a day of afflicting the soul, afflicting the being. It's a time for fasting and humbling oneself. We can fast for as a reason to appeal or plea to Yahweh for something. We can examine and come into a type of reflection about what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we should be doing, these type of things. Reasons to fast might include a spiritual strengthening, because as we humble ourselves and seek Yahweh's Spirit in our lives, we can be strengthened by that Spirit. And certainly we are strengthened by that Spirit. There are other reasons for fasting. Just in looking at Leviticus chapter 4, we find for sins there are, that's a reason to fast. For mourning, if someone passes away, that may be a time to fast. And so we have different times that we may want to fast. What I want to go through today are reasons for fasting. I remember when I first started out, not knowing what I know today, unintentionally, of course, went and would watch a movie. Go to the movies when I fasted, because I figure I can't really do much else. You know, I read a little bit, pray a little bit, and then go watch a movie. Well, I feel today that that's not an appropriate fast. I feel that and I think Scripture bears it out, that we should focus on Yahweh, spend the time in fasting with Him, and humbling ourselves before Him. I remember in another organization before I came to the understanding of the calendar, of course I was still with them, and I was in transition. And they also kept the Day of Atonement, for example, and would of course fast on it. I didn't want to keep it when they were keeping it, yet I didn't want to. I was in the middle of this. I was transferring out, coming into the understanding of the calendar, the proper biblical calendar versus the Gregorian calendar that we so often see today. And I remember going ahead and drinking and eating before I went. And I felt really guilty because I started sweating profusely. It was a warm day and no one else was sweating because they were fasting. I mean, they weren't sweating profusely like I was, and I thought for sure they would recognize that I had eaten something, or, I had drank water, but anyway, I didn't say anything. But it was soon after that that finally transitioned out from there and fully obeyed the Father. Of course, I kept the Day of Atonement, but kept it basically by myself, well, with my wife at the time, because we were both coming into the understanding at that time. But you find people today will fast, and they'll fast to the extent that they disfigure their faces. And that's not the kind of fast that we're really called to do. We're not to be disfiguring ourselves to show ourselves righteous or to show that the piety of that. Let's go over to, but there are reasons for fasting. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Now we find Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. How did he do that? I imagine he fasted at times, and indeed we have some accounts of his fasting. In Acts 9 and verse 9, we find that after Joshua had grabbed a hold of him, he fasted. In fact, he was blind for 3 days, and he fasted during those 3 days that he was blinded. It certainly got his attention, and he knew he needed to fast and out of earnest, to know Yahweh's will. In verse 9 it says, "And he was 3 days without sight, and neither he ate nor drank." So we find that he fasted at that time for 3 days. There's another example over in Acts 27 where there was a great storm, and he's on a ship with some others. In Acts 27 and verse 33, it says, "Until that day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing.'" I imagine he was not eating or drinking anything with them at the time. It says, "Therefore I encourage you to take some food now, for this is for your preservation, and not a hair from your head of any of you will perish." And of course, he was given revelation that they would be indeed saved. That Yahweh had some plans for Paul, and for those plans to be accomplished, that ship needed to go a little bit further. And they were all saved from that terrible storm that they were in. Very terrible, because here it lasted, they were on that ship, and it lasted for over 2 weeks. So it's quite the experience. And the fast was no doubt out of concern and an appeal for help by all involved. But we have, only really one day that we're commanded to fast, and that is Day of Atonement. It is a day of afflicting our being. But it is not necessarily to be the only time. And certainly we find other times when we can fast for various reasons. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, there was a particular woman at the time, an elderly lady, who was known as a prophetess. Verse 36 of Luke 2, it says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving day or night and day with fastings and prayer." Fastings, plural. She evidently fasted often, as well as prayed often. She was totally dedicated to serving Yahweh, and she served in the temple, never leaving it. Talk about dedication. We can appeal to Yahweh for certain things, and I was surprised to find out that even fasting is appropriate for special times of anointing or appointments. Acts chapter 13 and verse 3. "Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them," they're speaking of Paul and Barnabas here. It says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." In 14, verse 23, it says, "When they had appointed elders for them in every assembly, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Master in whom they had believed." So there are times when a special occasion of prayer and fasting is appropriate for believers. We find, the account of Esther. Esther requested from the people prayer and fasting on her behalf, because she was going to approach this king, which there was a law on the books saying that if you approach the king without his requesting you to approach him, you're basically dead if he doesn't hold out his scepter to you. Well, she was a little concerned about this, and I believe they were concerned for her. But they prayed, fasted, and she was okay. And Haman didn't get his way. He's, of course, wanting to destroy the Jews. But you find the account in the book of Esther. Esther 4:16 is where she requests the prayer and the fasting, specifically the fasting for her. But supplication, it was an appeal to Yahweh for something specific. Daniel in chapter 9. I mean, we can look at some of these, but Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it's a fairly long prayer that's given there. The words are given for that prayer. And Daniel is, of course, in captivity at that time with Judah, having been taken by the Babylonian king. And he was seeking intervention for the people in praying to Yahweh. And he fasts and prays specifically in Daniel 9 and in verse 3. You can read of that. It says, "So I gave my attention to Yahweh Elohim to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." So very dedicated. He called on Yahweh's name, and he uses Yahweh's name throughout this prayer. You know, as we were singing songs today, it's interesting. I mean, we didn't get together and figure what songs we were going to sing about, but a lot of those songs are very humbling, very very touching, because they are, they're songs to Yahweh, specifically humbling ourselves before His presence, seeking His will, seeking His Spirit, seeking His righteousness, which I notice we'll be singing here shortly as well. So kind of interesting as these things come about and come together. But aren't we here together on behalf of the commandment to gather together and to worship on the Sabbath day? Ezra, of course, Ezra, after the captivity, sought protection for the journey to Jerusalem. You find that in Ezra 8 and verse 23. And then even after that captivity, Nehemiah 9, 1 through 2, just we can turn there, Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah 9, and starting in verse 1, going through 2, says, "On the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dirt upon them." It was a bit of a tradition, I believe, at that time to do that, sit down in sackcloth and ashes as a further humbling of oneself. Certainly Yahweh is concerned with the heart with us. He wants us to be humble before Him. And there are times when there are those in this nation who have humbled themselves. I was reading through something that was written by Martin M. Heiser in the Encyclopedia of 7,700 Illustrations. It says, "In the early spring of 1877, Minnesota farmers surveyed their lands, dreading the first hordes of locusts that had caused such widespread destruction the summer before." You don't think of locusts destroying the crops in this country, but at one time, this, you could see about half this country was just covered with locusts. Well, Yahweh saw fit to destroy those locusts, so we haven't had those plagues since. But at this time, in 1877, there were locusts at that time. It says, "Another such plague threatened to destroy Minnesota's rich wheatlands, spelling ruin for thousands of families. Suddenly, Governor John S. Pillsbury proclaimed April 26th a day of fasting and prayer, urging that every man, woman, and child ask divine help. A strange hush fell over the land as Minnesotans solemnly assembled to prayer." Now, certainly they didn't call on Yahweh's name that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean that Yahweh can't answer their prayer. They're seeking Him diligently, and they're doing the best that they can with what they knew. Now, if we were there at the time and we told them, look, you know, you're calling on titles, you really should be calling on the name of Yahweh. If they refused, would He answer their prayer? I think we have to consider some of these things, because if we know that Yahweh has a name and we know that Scripture says to honor it, proclaim it, praise His name, then we should do just that. But it goes on here to say that the next morning the sun rose in cloudless skies. Temperatures soared to midsummer heat. The people looked up at the skies in wonder, and to their horror, the warm earth began to stir with the dreaded insects. This was a strange answer. 3 days passed. The unseasonable heat hatched out a vast army of locusts. Look, here we prayed for intervention, and look, he put more on us. What's going on? But it continues here, it says that the heat hatched out a vast army of locusts that threatened to engulf the entire Northwest. Then on the fourth day, the sun went down in a cold sky, and that night frost gripped the earth. Most of the locusts were destroyed as surely as if fire had swept them away. When summer came, the wheat waved tall and green. April 26th went down in history as a day on which a people's prayer had been answered. And certainly Yahweh had plans for this country. This country has been like a breadbasket for other countries, other nations. And I think other nations have asked, well, why? What makes this country so great? And of course, this country was based on some biblical foundational truths, the Ten Commandments being one of them. Or I should say ten of them. But it seems like things are getting worse, and there's some things happening out there that is striking. There's an increase of teenage prostitution across this nation. They have these disco clubs and stuff. They shut down one club after they found one teenager was allowed to dance nude at that establishment. But there's a lot going on that we don't really hear too much about, but yet it's growing. And I think this nation needs to start praying and fasting, because if it doesn't, the wickedness will just increase, and Yahweh will eventually put an end to it. But because we know he won't put up with disobedience forever. We find that David fasted, seeking intervention for his son. And of course, what had happened, we know the account that David had slept with Bathsheba, had actually murdered her husband, just sin on top of sin. And Yahweh's punishment at that time was for David's son to be taken. And that may seem quite harsh, but we have to understand that sin causes death, and that is brought out very plainly with the law that was added, the sacrificial sacrifices. Every time the people sinned, they would have to go and sacrifice, and blood was shed. And of course, we have blood shed for us today. We have Yahshua's sacrifice. And of course, we have Passover coming up, so we need to be thinking about that even now. And consider our place and what we're doing and what we need to be doing. But the account of David having fasted is in 2 Samuel 12, verse 16. And, of course, the account is given that for 7 days he basically fasted, thinking that, well, maybe Yahweh will relent. Well, he didn't in this particular situation. But other times he does. We find that in Jonah, might as well go ahead and go to the book of Jonah, where we find the account of Nineveh, who is a wicked, is basically a wicked people, the Assyrians. This was the capital of Nineveh, as scholars believe. And when they heard that there was destruction coming, of course, Jonah didn't even want to tell them. And he tried to run away, and Yahweh intervened in his life. Book of Obadiah, or I'm sorry, Book of Jonah, just past the Book of Obadiah. Yeah, Jonah 3, let's skip down to verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed in Yahweh, and they called a fast and put a sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and sat on ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let the men call on Yahweh earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands," which is something Assyria was known for, violence in their hands. Verse 9 says, "Who knows? Elohim may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish." Then Elohim saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, and Yahweh relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. They fasted, they turned to him, but why did Yahweh turn his wrath from them? In verse 10 it says, "When Yahweh saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then Yahweh relented." So fasting in and of itself is not all there is. And there are accounts of how not to fast. And we can take maybe a look at a couple of those. But in this resource, this encyclopedia of 7,700 illustrations, there's a section in there also called National Day of Fasting. It says the U.S. Senator Mark O. Hatfield presented a resolution designating Monday of Thanksgiving week, 24th November 1975, as National Day of Fasting. He and Stan Mooneyham, president of World Vision International, called on all Americans to experience hunger willingly and to reevaluate their own lifestyles and habits. Now, this was for the purpose of coming to an understanding of the poverty, the hunger that is happening around the world. I mean, of course, this nation has much wealth, much food, and it's because of Yahweh's intervention. He got rid of the locust. He blessed the ground that's here. And even though we work it with the sweat of our brow, he gives us increase. But with people disobeying the sabbaticals and such, it seems that we're finding that these blessings may not be with us much longer, as we see certain things come about in the world. And it's not just this country; it's other parts of the world as well. But we find that that examination and reflection is another reason to fast. And, you know, one of the reasons for this message is because of the Passover coming up. I don't think it's such a bad idea to go ahead and take a day and fast and to think and to consider and to reflect and meditate upon what is coming. What will we be doing on Passover exactly? What did Yahshua do for us? Have we grown? Are we more dedicated than ever before? Do I put Yahweh's will before my own? Am I truly seeking His kingdom and His righteousness in my life? These are questions we need to ask personally of ourselves. And we certainly do need spiritual strengthening. And if we think we are spiritual, then we better consider that Yahweh puts down the proud and raises the humble. 2 Corinthians. Of course, we have desires, we have needs, Yahweh knows. But Yahweh knows also that difficulties can produce blessings. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter 12 and verse 7, starting there. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, of course, Paul is even referring to having been taken up to like the third heaven. So he experienced some great things here. But it says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, Hebrew idiom for describing just how bad it was, I'm sure. We don't know exactly what it was, but we're given an account here that he had this difficulty. But it says it was to keep him from exalting himself. And so he knew the reason that he had it. And he said concerning this, in verse 8, I implored the master three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And there are blessings for fasts that are done correctly. Let's go over to Matthew 6. Of course, we see that blessing, the spiritual strengthening of the spirit that's within us. Matthew 6, and verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by man, but by your Father who sees you in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So there's a reward for striving to do these things and to do them in a right way. But it's not just fasting that we need to do. We also need to do what's right. And concerning fasting, we're given instructions. Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And starting in verse 8. And it gives a number of things of why we're not to, or how we're not to keep a fast, bowing one's head. Almost like what we read in Matthew 6. But in Isaiah 58, starting in verse 8, says if you start doing things right, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of Yahweh will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. Do we ask and we don't receive and we wonder why? Now, none of us are perfect, as Yahweh is perfect, but we're striving for that, and with his help people can see Yahshua within us by living in that spirit and in that truth. We find Yahweh's word within him. It says, if we're not receiving what we're asking for, maybe we should take some time out and fast and pray about it and think about what we're doing. And then when we're keeping the fast, don't just, get a couple tickets to go see a couple movies, because, that'll take up most of the day and the fast won't be so hard. Human reasoning, it's wonderful. But yet, Yahweh says, it's enmity against Yahweh, the carnal nature. So we need to recognize, just as Paul did. I mean, Paul must have had certain feelings. He wanted to do something, but yet, it didn't work out the way he thought. And he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Those things that I, and he expresses those things. In Isaiah 58 and verse 9, so Yahweh says, then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And of course, having come through this winter, we're looking for midday, for sunshine, for warmth, because it's been a bit of a long winter. But it's starting to warm up a bit, so we're grateful for that. but there are things to do besides just fasting. But there are wrong fasts. And in Luke, there's a perfect example of this about bragging. You know, even if you fast, if you're bragging about it, look out. Because Yahshua gives a parable, and in Luke chapter 18, starting there in verse 10, read through 14. He says, Yahshua is speaking about this parable. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, Yahweh, I thank you, and that I am not like these other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You know, can you imagine the tax collector hearing that? He's right there with him. In verse 12, the Pharisee goes on, I fast twice a week. You know, he's like beating his breast. I pay tithes of all I get. Well, it's not that these things shouldn't be done, but we shouldn't certainly brag about them. Shouldn't do that. Verse 13, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was, I imagine, even backed up, you know, if he thought he came too close. It says, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating, I guess you can beat your breast in two different ways. Here he's beating his breast humbly, saying, Yahweh, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so this is what we have to keep in mind. We have to make sure that our attitude is correct, whether we're fasting or not. And certainly before Yahweh. We can't go before Yahweh and go, Yahweh, I've got it made, you know, because really we don't. And Paul didn't think that. Paul said, lest I lose, he has to keep his body under subjection, his carnal nature. He has to do it. And in helping him do that, I'm sure he fasted in part. Now, there are times when mourning, would be an appropriate time to fast. I mean, even for Yahshua, in chapter 5 and verse 33 of Luke, speaks to the Pharisees here, and they said to him, we'll go through 35, chapter 5 and verse 33 starting out. And they said to him, the disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink. And Yahshua said to them, you cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. And of course we find even King David fasted after Saul's death. You find that in 2 Samuel 1 and verse 12. King David also fasted and mourned over Abner's death. You find that in 2 Samuel 3 and verse 35. There's something I found interesting. I mean, we're talking about reasons for fasting. We look at these fastings, and we know that there are blessings. If you do your fasting in private, knowing that only Yahweh will see, you're appealing to Him. I mean, that's it. We're focusing on Him. He gets the glory and honor. We don't go out and do these things that would lift us up. We do want to lift up Yahweh. And there are blessings and rewards there for proper fasting, proper worship. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians verse 11, or chapter 11, rather, and verse 27. And we know Paul suffered. And, you know, we suffer at times. Paul says, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, often without food. Probably times when he was forced to fast. I mean, he had no choice. He didn't have any food. Let's go over, backing up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. and verse 3. Going through 6. He's talking about an acceptable time. He says in verse 3, give no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will be not discredited. But in everything, commending yourselves as servants of Elohim, in much endurance, afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. Certainly he knew these things. Verse 5, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, or in fasting. But notice, right after the hunger, right after the fasting, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in genuine love. Notice it comes after the hunger. And you know, Yahshua says, for those that are thirsty, you know, come and drink from the waters of life. We know that we need to be focused on some of these spiritual things, not the physical things. Now, we do physical things to learn spiritual lessons. I think fasting is one of those physical things, or one of the lack of physical things that's done so that we can grow and learn about some of these spiritual things. And what is spiritual? Isn't it purity? Isn't there knowledge of the Spirit? Isn't there patience in the Spirit? Isn't there kindness in the Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit but love? You know, I'm sincerely glad this message is being presented right now, because we have time to fast and examine ourselves before Passover. Occasionally we hear of those that say they don't feel worthy to keep the Passover, and then we don't hear from them sometime thereafter. And some of them, never do we hear from them again. I really don't know of any one of us who can think that we are worthy. But we should all keep in mind that what Yahweh says in Joel 2 and verse 12 through 13, and draw close to him through his son Yahshua. Let's go to Joel 2 for a last scripture reading. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Yet even now, declares Yahweh, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting in evil. May Yahweh bless you.